Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary. And Mike, we've had another busy week. John Rahm won the Masters in a masterful performance. Did what he needed to do down the stretch, which is close it out. It looked calm and collected. The other guy kind of came apart a little bit. Had a two-stroke lead and couldn't keep it under control.
Yeah, Phil Mickelson, who was in contention, who perhaps we're not necessarily, or at least I'm not necessarily fond of, but we're glad to see John Rahm. Congratulations to him, and it's nice to see a PGA Tour winner rather than a LIV golfer.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, they've that's getting a lot of controversy, and Pete Mickelson, was. He had finished his round well in advance.
Yeah.
So he was just kind of there waiting and seeing to see if he could possibly get into to a playoff. But great win for John Rahm. And I don't know if you saw the Lakers.
I did.
Win the other night.
That was tough.
That hurt. It was ugly. The only thing that mattered was that they won. Going into the postseason, I guess you could say, the playoffs, I don't think I'm feeling real good if I'm a Laker fan.
Not even the playoffs, really. I mean, they're in the play-in tournament, which is a new addition here. And, yeah, they barely squeaked through. They were down 15 points pretty much the entire game. And then through a comedy of errors, actually managed to win the game.
And a deleted Minnesota team had an internal incident, lost three players. A guy breaks his hand. Guy's hitting another guy. The coach doesn't know what to do. They made a valiant effort, but came up short. Give them a lot of credit, though. That they could have very easily won that game.
They did start the season 2-10, and we saw LeBron James was out the past month, and Anthony Davis, who's made of porcelain, missed a lot of games too. But they are in the playoffs now, so we shall see.
Yeah, well, it will be, and it's also interesting that my daughter and her kids showed up this week. They have a break for spring, and Seikasa is a little bit more crazier than it has been of late.
We spoke on the phone yesterday, and there was quite a lot of background noise.
Yeah,
let's just say that.
Two extra dogs in the house, too, so yeah, it's chaos. But we have a very special guest coming up. When we take our break, Vince Ferragamo, I'm sure that a lot of Southern California people are very well aware of this icon, local icon. We'll be back right after this. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, this is Dodger legend Ron Say. If you're a business owner, would you like to save 20 to 30% on your monthly health insurance premium while improving your benefits? Then give BFF Financial a call. If you have more than 10 employees and you're interested in building a tax-free retirement income that can be funded with tax-deductible dollars, then give BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Those are just two of the things that my friends at BFF Financial can help you with. They make some of the most important financial decisions that a business owner must make. Easy to understand. Many of my friends who are business owners always talk about how much they are looking to stretch their budgets and do more for their employees, their family, and themselves. If you are in this same situation, give my friends at BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Call the team at BFF Financial at 888-908-4BFF to get a free consultation. Tell them Ron sent you. BFF Financial, simplifying the complex. 888-908-4BFF or visit us at BFFFinancial.com. BallanceSeven.com.
Hi, Fred Dreyer here to talk about all-natural ingredient Balance 7. Do you suffer from heartburn? Can't eat the foods you like? Then you need Balance 7. Balance 7 improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH balance helps increase energy, memory, sleep, and it helps unlock your immune system. Balance 7 works. I know because I use it every day. So go ahead, eat that pepperoni pizza without heartburn. And now you can try Balance 7 and get $15 off your order. Free shipping, a money-back guarantee, plus a free bottle of my smooth skin. Call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. 3 1-ounce sips a day is all you need. Try Balance 7, 800-793-9039, code word Fred. You have nothing to lose with our money-back guarantee. 800-793-9039, code word Fred. Or go to BalanceTheNumber7.com.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-L-I-N-Z-E-S-S.
They still call me the Penguin.
Hello, everyone, and we have returned. We'll see about that. Ron Say again with Mike Gary, and we have a very special guest, a local icon, a guy that got his career started in Southern California, Vince Ferragamo. Vince, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Hey, thanks, Ron. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me on. Fun to be on.
So
I heard you talking about Lakers, and you know, I was a kid growing up in L.A. and a big Laker fan for many, many years. But all the way back to the Elgin Baylor and Jerry West days, and you know, watching that team just build each and every year, it was always a thrill.
That
it's
was
a little
my,
different today.
Yeah, that was my era too. Actually, I got a chance to watch Elgin Baylor in his collegiate career.
Oh, yeah.
Being up in the Northwest, he played at Seattle University and took his team to the national championship against Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed having Elgin Baylor down here. Certainly, they had a monster team with West and Chamberlain and Gail Goodrich and others. What a fun team to watch.
And then after that, you know, Kareem came along,
right.
And then Magic Johnson, and then you know, Robert Horry, Cooper, Nixon. I mean, they everyone played so well together.
Yeah, Kobe and Shaq and all the rest.
Kobe
yeah.
and Shaq and all yeah. those years. Yeah,
a lot of fun.
Great.
A lot of fun. And
great years.
The times have changed now. The Lakers are kind of looking uphill these days. They've got a big struggle. Yep. Whether they can get to the finals in the West is questionable, but the East is stacked. I think the Eastern Conference champion, whoever wins that's going to win it all. But they still have to go out and play, as you well know. So growing up in Torrance,
yeah,
California, how did you get
yeah.
started in this right. football thing? Did you have a boys' club that you went to? How did that all get started?
You know what? We started at the Will Hall. It was you know, in the San Pedro area in Wilmington where I grew up. We didn't have the kind of sports they had out there today and all the individual right. instruction they have going around. I was a baseball nut in the beginning, and I liked playing baseball and went to the park and went to Banning Park. We had a little league there, so I started playing that. And then afterwards, I started to play a little flag football. My brothers, you know, my older brothers played football, and so I got involved just by watching them. My dad never really pushed me one way or the other, but enjoyed watching football, and then became a Rams fan, obviously, as a kid. And you know, growing up, I played flag football. I didn't play tackle football. I was too heavy to play tackle football. I was out of the age bracket. So I got to high school and, you know, just started playing a little football there. And one thing led to another. And played a little baseball as well, but stuck to football, and it took off after that. So we had a good time. But yeah, growing up in Wilmington area was great. Was a great place. I mean, family oriented. The high school I played at, Banning High School, was a lot of fun. My brother was the coach, and got through that part of it.
It got you the starting quarterback spot, didn't it?
Well, you know, not by choice, actually. He didn't want to play me at all, and the other coaches were saying, God, you know, we got to get him in the lineup, man. He's the best thing for our team. And so, I learned a lot my sophomore season. And, you know, my junior season, we probably had our best team of all. Then we were eliminated in the playoffs. We had an ineligible player. He was 26 years old. We didn't even know how old he was on our team.
Did he have a beard?
And so, he was like, no, he's cleanly shaven, and couldn't even tell.
Exactly.
Flutie was his name. And so, arch rival Carson blew the whistle on us, and so we had to give up our chance to play in the playoffs. But then the senior year, we made it a little bit. We advanced a little bit further, but it was, a fun career. We were the first team, Ron, to use the shotgun formation.
Is that right?
At that time, it was very new to everybody. And so, we did a little shotgun, but we went under center. We did quite a bit in the passing game. So it's funny, because when I got drafted by the Rams, they had such a great scouting department, and Don Klosterman was the general manager. And the reason why they selected me in the fourth round was not because of the way I played college football, because I went to Nebraska, we didn't run the drop back. We ran a veer and a semi drop out of the pocket. We threw the ball quite a bit, but Don Klosterman drafted me because he saw me play in high school. So it kind of goes back to tell you, sometimes you got to find the diamond in the rough out there. And that's what the Rams have to do today, though, Ron. They really have to do some soul searching and get some good players.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. They lost Stafford Cooper Kupp, and that's a lot to replace. That's asking a lot. Your defense is going to have to do a bigger job. Offense is not going to be able to score enough. But it was more than just a little bit of fun for you at Banning High School. I mean, you were the city player of the year. You were high school All American. You went first to Berkeley. How did that happen?
Yeah. Well, Mike White did a great job. Mike was the head coach, and I was highly recruited by Stanford and Cal and Washington. And Nebraska joined the group of teams that wanted to get me out of high school. But I was, at the time, I never left California, really. I never went anywhere. As a kid growing up, I was a local kid, and that's all I knew. And so, my thoughts were to go to Stanford because they had – brought me. I saw Jim Plunkett play in the Rose Bowl, and then Dan Bunce played quarterback, and when they beat Michigan, I think it was in one of the Rose Bowls that I attended. And so I was all engaged and really excited to go to Stanford. But then they had a coaching changeover. Jack Christensen was retained as the coach, and Mike White moved over to Cal.
There you go.
Across the bay. And so they did a great job recruiting, and I actually had signed the national letter of intent to go to Stanford, and I went back to the school the same day, and my mom dropped me off, and the first person I ran to was my brother in the locker room, who was the coach, and he said, "Well, what school are you going to?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to Stanford." He goes, "Well, you made the wrong decision. You should have went to Cal." I go, "You're kidding." So I went back to the post office, and they retrieved that letter. They gave me that letter, and I crossed out Stanford and wrote Cal. So was kind of a traumatic way to select. Never happened before to anybody else, but for me. But I did go to play at Cal, and learned a lot about the passing game, and so it was a lot of fun. And beating Stanford, my freshman year, that was a lot of fun, throwing a pass to Steve Sweeney with no time left. That was a kick. That was a good one. So, Cal, they stole me away. I think, Ron, they stole me away. And then I end up going to Nebraska to finish out my collegiate career.
How did that happen? What were the transfer rules on that? How did that work?
Yeah, that was when in those days you had to do a fifth, what they call a redshirt year. So if I transferred to another school, it couldn't be in the same conference. Otherwise, you had to sit out 2 years. But if you went to a different conference, You could sit out 1 year, but you could redshirt that year and you still have 2 years of eligibility remaining. So that's what I did. And I went to Nebraska actually on a baseball scholarship. And then
they played baseball in Nebraska.
I played one day on the baseball field. And then they switched me over to the football scholarship. And, you know, that redshirt year was a big learning experience for me because it was a whole different program. It was, you know, getting in there and fighting your way up. And so I went from seventh on the depth chart to number one after spring training. And we had this drill in the off season that we would go inside the racquetball courts. And in the winter, it was so cold in Nebraska that we had this this winter conditioning program, get ready for spring practice. And each you'd be selected to go with each by position. And we went with the coach. And Mike Corgan was the running back coach. And they had this drill where they had a combat stick that was padded on both ends. And then you had to go against one of your competitors, which is one of your other quarterbacks. And it was just quarterbacks in the room. And I figured, well, you know, I can't run faster than some of these guys, but, you know, maybe I can knock them out and make my way up. So they put us on the mat and they give you that stick and they just kind of want to see how tough you were, you know, and anything goes. You just got to get the stick away from your opponent and you get down in a wrestling stance and you go at it. And so, you know, I ended up, you know, winning that battle every time I went head to head. So that got me up the starting lineup pretty fast.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, not necessarily sanctioned by the NCAA.
No, not anymore. Yeah, those days are over with. But, you know, when we come back, we've got to take a break here in a couple seconds. I want to hear your thoughts on the transfer in today's college football, the portal. We'll return right after this with Vince Ferragamo.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738.
That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Sabe. Hello, everyone, and we are back once again with We'll See About That, and we have our special guest, Vince Ferragamo, with us. I'm sure you Southern California fans are pleased to hear what Vin is doing these days, but I want to get your thoughts on the current portal in college football.
Well, you know, it's easy to transfer nowadays, Ron. I'm not a big fan, to be honest with you. When I transferred, I had reasons to transfer from Cal to Nebraska. We were put on probation at Cal, and as a kid growing up, I always wanted to play in the Rose Bowl, and that's the reason why I went to a Pac-10 school at the time. And so today's world's a lot different, you know, with the way the kids can earn money in college. And, you know, I just think a tuition and room and board is a great benefit for a lot of kids coming out of high school that couldn't afford to go to school. And, you know, by getting a scholarship, it's advantageous for them to build a second career. But the portal nowadays enables players to move from one school to another school, whether they're not playing or they like the coach better at another school. To me, it's too transient. You know, I've always been a firm believer in tradition and, you know, sticking with the programs, to being loyal to the school. And it was hard for me to transfer even when I did it. And I had to sit out a year. So these guys can walk from one school to another in the same year, play the next year. So, you know, it's sometimes in life you have to make, you know, your choices and make the best of it. And through hard work, you know, good things come out of it. And there's no easy way around it. And so, you know, I don't really think that, you know, transferring kids like that, I just it's hard for me to believe that, you know, it's a good thing. And, you know, it's maybe it's the way I was raised, the way I was brought up. But you know, I'm old fashioned and that's the way it's going to be, I guess.
Well, Vince, you talked about, you know, winning your job. Nowadays, if you feel like you're not going to get any opportunity, even through direct competition with the, you know, your teammates, you just transfer because you want to play, or you're transferred to chase these NIL dollars, right?
Yes.
Right. Right. Yeah. Name, image, likeness. I know. I mean, I wish they would have had that when we played though.
Exactly.
Name, image, likeness.
Yeah.
But you know, it's, you know, we were fine. We didn't think of the monetary side of things. I mean, you know, we had a tuition was paid for, a room and board was paid for. We had a training table. You know, we went out and played football and we went to school to stay eligible. And, you know, you go to school, you go to college to get an education for one thing. And, you know, obviously to play football is important for a lot of kids today because of what you can earn, you know, and professionally if you go on that far. But otherwise, you really have something to fall. You have to have something to fall back on. And so, you know, I look at a lot of players today. They do pretty well financially, and you know, there's a big demand for getting great players and building a team. And so, but I think, you know, I think in college football, you know, let's keep it college and let's keep it, you know, the way it's always been. That's my take.
Well, obviously, your education was important to you because you became an academic All-American. And the next thing I wanted to, you know, ask you is, you know, the atmosphere at Nebraska, because back at that point in time, Nebraska was, you know, the powerhouse, one of those powerhouses. Nebraska, mm-hmm. Oklahoma, you know, you wanted to play for a national championship team. They were ranked number one while you were there. They got some lunatic fans back there.
Yeah, you sure do, Ron. They there's a big Italian.
They love their football.
Dominance of people there too that really took to me, and so that was we had the Italian army there that you come out every week to support Nebraska football. And but it is a big thing. It's a sellout crowd each and every week. Nebraska's college football is the big main attraction in the whole entire state. People from all over the state come, and the alumni support the team. We had a great Californians for Nebraska Association that was great, and they do great things, getting a lot of good players from California. And now with Matt Rhule, the new coach that's come to Nebraska, we hope that he can change things around. We think he's family-oriented, and I think he's got as good a chance. He's a firm believer in building players, coaching them, developing players, and bringing them along. And you know, that's what you really need. So many things today are overlooked. I mean, teaching is a vital aspect of great coaching today. And, you know, some of the great coaches of all time have been great teachers. So I hope Matt Rhule can restore, you know, that sense of tradition and pride in Nebraska. And that's what we're hoping to see happen. So,
well, but, Nebraska.
Yeah, Nebraska was great fan support, great fan support. You know, they used to come to each game with a balloon, Ron, and then they would hold the balloon until the first score. And if we didn't score fast, I mean, they would get disgruntled real quick. I mean, they didn't want to hold the balloon too long in their hand. So, you know, I got my first start in Nebraska. I didn't start my junior year. I was I was ineligible for one game because I did an interview. I was selected as a redshirt player to go to the Sugar Bowl game. And I guess in those days, we weren't even supposed to go to a Sugar Bowl game if we were a redshirt player. And Jim Lampley interviewed me on the sideline, so they blew the whistle on me and a couple other guys. And so the first game I got a chance to start was the second game we played Miami, and we were losing at halftime. And the first game we had tied LSU, so people were starting to get disgruntled a little bit. We didn't want to start scoring more points. And Tom Osborne told me, he says, the second half, walking off the field, all these balloons, they want to get rid of these balloons. He says, get ready, you're going in the second half. And you know, we went on a real tear, and we started scoring a lot of points. And it just so happened to be I was at the right place at the right time, you know. So things turned out. But the fan support was phenomenal in Nebraska.
Nebraska has moved on. They are now part of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Now you're going to be seeing, after this year, UCLA and USC transferring out. What do you think is going to happen to the old Pac-12?
Again, I'm a traditionalist, Ron. That's a good question because, you know, what's going to be left? I mean, SC and UCLA were strong, you know, strong teams in the Pac-10, the Pac-12. But now they're going to be gone, the Big Ten. So people are moving around for the money, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the root of all evil money can be. So, but I think, you know, it just, like I say, I'm a traditionalist. I love to see those rivalries stay in place. Even the Nebraska-Oklahoma rivalry is gone now because they jumped to the Big Ten. So I miss that. And, you know, it's, we'll have to wait and see. Maybe everything is not for long. So, you know, it's like the NFL, not for long. It's hopefully we'll see what happens, but there's a lot of competition. The SEC has great competition. Right. They're not changing around very much. They're keeping everything intact. But you know, if schools are offered more money to have more sports programs available to students, then I can see that there is a benefit to maybe jump in conferences. But other than that, football is football, and you know, you got to keep those traditional teams intact.
Yes, and my understanding is because Berkeley and UCLA are state schools, that they have to compensate Berkeley for losses. I've read something about that when there was the first thought of USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten, the Big Ten. It's a crazy world. I don't know how they're going to revamp it. I don't know how you can replace UCLA and USC. They're two enormous schools. Two enormously successful schools, won over 100 national championships, both of them, along with Stanford. It is the Conference of Champions. It's kind of a shame, really, to see all of that, you know.
The rationale that, you know, by moving to the Big 12 and different conferences, that these conferences have a bigger media rights deals with their media partners, and so there's a bigger pie of money to be shared? Is that the rationale why they're doing this?
My understanding is that it was an offer made to USC and UCLA that they couldn't refuse. There's just too much money on the line out there. Mm. But if Vince knows more about that,
I don't know much about it.
Yeah,
I really don't. I wish I did, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be different. I tell you that because the people that we're used to seeing, you know, Washington play Stanford or Washington play USC, UCLA, I mean, those matchups now are, you know, they're going to be different. Now you're going to see UCLA play Ohio State. And I mean, yeah, you want to see good teams play good teams. But, you know, for them to defect from the Pac-10, it depletes the Pac-10 in my mind. I mean, it doesn't make it stronger. It doesn't, you know, because you had two strong teams that played in the Pac-10 that made it the Pac-10, you know?
Right, exactly.
And they're on the West Coast, so. But it's just like it's, the NFL wants to jump over to Europe now. They want to have a league and start a new division in Europe, and that's going to be a long travel. So maybe things are just branching out. They're just going all over.
Well, it's changing everywhere. You know, baseball here a number of years ago started, their season in Australia. One year the Dodgers opened up in Australia, and they played a three-game series, and then they came back and waited another week for the season to start. And then they also opened up in Japan. So they're trying to make this a world game, but it's very difficult to do that. Very difficult to do that.
Ron, I got a question for you, Ron.
Yeah.
I mean, the longest probably running infield ever assembled was you, Lopes, Say, and Russell. And you guys, I mean, it was amazing to watch you guys play for all those years. And I was thinking to myself the other day, I says, you know, when I'm thinking about when I look at guys playing for, and then jumping around different teams now and, you know, being free agents. And I said, I remember the Dodgers had Ron Say, the Penguin at third base. They had, you know, Bill Russell at shortstop, Davey Lopes at second base, and Steve Garvey at first base. You guys were there for like
8.5 years. 8.5 years. Yeah, we're going to talk more about that. We got to take a quick break. We'll return right after this with Vince Ferragamo. Stay with us.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTRCM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Spring is here, and there's no better time to try something new. Take a taste of Coke Zero Sugar and enjoy real Coke taste and Zero Sugar. Now available at participating Burger King restaurants. Try Coke Zero Sugar with your favorite food from Burger King. Satisfy your hunger and enjoy Coke Zero Sugar with a piping hot breakfast sandwich, like a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich. Sizzling sausage, fluffy eggs, and melted American cheese on a toasted croissant makes for a delicious breakfast to start your morning right. And don't forget the crispy hash browns. Or if the flame-grilled Whopper sandwich, BK Royal crispy chicken sandwich, or chicken fries are your fave, you are in luck. All Burger King menu items pair perfectly with an ice-cold Coke Zero Sugar. It's the perfect no-sugar sparkling beverage that goes great with everything. Take a taste of Coke Zero Sugar to enjoy spring your way at Burger King, where you rule. At participating U.S. Burger King restaurants. Sponsored by Coca-Cola.
Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it up on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road, or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough with the phones already. Put them down and pay attention, or pay the price. You drive, you text, you pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Attention small business owners. The IRS has just released a notice that businesses eligible to file for the Employee Retention Credit should not file with companies charging a percentage of their ERC refund. These companies have been shown to overqualify businesses, leaving the business owner open to audits and tax penalties. ERTCfiling.com helps small business owners file their Employee Retention Credit forms accurately and at a cost that is a fraction of their competitors. And most importantly, ERTCfiling.com charges a flat fee, not a percentage of what you get back. So there's never a worry about overqualification. Businesses that were open in 2020 and 2021 and subject to any COVID government mandate, such as a capacity limitation, social distancing, supply chain issues, and increased vendor costs, will qualify. You do not need to have a reduction in revenue to qualify for this program. Stop any work you're doing with your current employee retention credit provider and call 833-GET-ERTC or go to ERTCfiling.com to schedule your free 30-minute consultation today.
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours, the decisions are yours.
The fans are rooting for
welcome
the
back.
Dodgers.
And this week in Dodger baseball history, we have a historic event, folks. On this week, on actually on this day, April 15th, 1947, the absolute icon Jackie Robinson made his MLB debut, and interestingly enough, at first base, which was not his position. So on this day, Dodger history presented by BFF Financial, Jackie Robinson's debut.
Where was Gil Hodges is what I want to know. Pee Wee Reese was playing, and, you know, where, you know, Jackie's over at first base, but you know what? The start of a legendary career, still the only number to be retired by all of baseball, number 42. Jackie Robinson began his career on this date in 1947. So we're going to jump right back into more Dodger stuff, and we're going to talk about the infield for a second since you brought it up, Vince. We played 8.5 years together. We are not only known as the longest running infield in Major League history, but we are also, by fact, the most successful infield in Major League history. Not the greatest, but the most successful. And the accolades that go along with all the players are we won more games, played in more All-Star games, 4 World Series, World Championship. Everybody in the member of the infield was a multiple-time All-Star. So we were, in fact, the foundation that organization's success for 8.5 to 10 years, basically. And then, you know, we were very fortunate. The last game that we played as an infield was the last game of the 1981 World Series, in which we beat the Yankees. Thank you very much. We brought the World Series championship flag back to Los Angeles. And that was the end of the infield. Davey Lopes was the one that was first to leave. Bill Russell, Steve Garvey, and myself played one more year along with Steve Sachs. And then Garvey and I were gone to Chicago and San Diego after that. But, yes, we have our 50th golden anniversary coming up, June 23rd. And very, very substantial gem in the Dodgers hat of tradition and history. So we're hopeful that we'll have a day there. But right now, there is no plan to honor that. And I'm a little confused.
Yeah, that's not right.
No, it isn't. But
did you have Tommy Lasorda at the helm?
We did. Tommy Lasorda was our manager in 1977. He took over for Walter Alston. And we opened up his career with back-to-back World Series appearances and then won the World Series in 81. So we were there 3 of his first 5 years. And so he was he got off to a real great start, and plus he had Frank Sinatra singing the national anthem on opening day in 1977. So, yes, it was. Yeah, another Italian party.
Oh, yeah, boy. That's it. You know, Jerry Vail was a close friend of mine as well. He's a big Yankee fan, though. But, you know, he'd watch every game. I mean, just amazing how much interest there was. And you look at some of these great musical stars like Sinatra and Jerry Vail, and you look and see what, you know, what they really like to do. They love sports. They love sports, boy. They'd watch it like crazy. And then Tommy was a great guy too.
Well, he was
he was a good one.
Yeah, he was. He really enjoyed being baseball's ambassador. He took it to heart, and I'm glad he did. They needed somebody with his energy, and of course, he made it a lot of fun. He had a lot of connections. We had a lot of people around in the clubhouses all the time, and it was a terrific time for all of us. Very special being a Dodger back then. Yep. We had our own Dodger plane, the KO2, so we had a big old blue bullseye on our forehead, and we loved wearing it.
Speaking of somebody who liked to have a good time, Vince, when you first came to your draft in the fourth round, 1977, to the Rams, and also on that roster was Woolly Joe Namath. What was it like hanging out with old Joe Namath?
He was great. He was like a superstar, and in those days he was at the end of his career, but I learned so much by just watching him each and every day, how he operated, how he controlled the huddle, how he interrelated with the players, and attention to detail and what he meant to the team when he stepped on the field. And when you look at somebody's like that and the impact that he would have on a team, you kind of have to kind of think to yourself, God, I got to learn from this guy, because, he's one of the best there is. And so, his career was, his better days were before him, before he reached the Rams. But, that's the way the Rams were. They always wanted to go after that, special player and a special quarterback like that, and see what he could do to help this team win a championship. And so, but it was great to have him on the team. Great to have him on the team.
What about off the field? Because it's Los Angeles, it's 1977, and you're Joe Namath.
Yeah.
Were you hanging around with Joe, Vince?
I hung around. We did a few things together. I actually ran into him once on Fisherman's Wharf when we were playing the 49ers, and we had Saturday off, and he didn't want to be recognized out there when he was out in public. So he had the Sherlock Holmes hat on, and he ran into me on the street, yeah. And he asked me, he says, Vince, I said, Joe, what are you doing here? He says, what hotel are we staying at again? Forgot what hotel.
Yeah, he probably didn't remember his room number. Yeah.
So it was, but that's the kind of character he was. He was, just low key, just handle himself with class, and just the epitome of a guy you want to have lead your team. He was a leader, and that's how he won a Super Bowl. I mean, he was confident, and he was poised, and nothing really bothered him. I mean, he was just, didn't matter who he was facing, he just dropped back and throw that ball, and that's how I learned to play quarterback.
Well, that's why he's a legend. He won a Super Bowl and had the charisma to go along with it. And, speaking of a Super Bowl, you had a pretty special beginning to your career. You got to play in the Super Bowl your first year against the vaunted Pittsburgh Steelers. What was going on at that time? That's a very good team you were lined up with. I mean, you got Mean Joe Green, and you got Terry Bradshaw, and you got Franco Harris and others, Lynn Swan, intimidating.
They were the top team in my estimation. They could do anything they wanted. They had so many Hall of Fame players, Hall of Fame coach with Chuck Knoll. They had Bradshaw, Swan, Stallworth, Mike Webster, and in the backfield they had Franco Harris. The late Franco Harris was an unbelievable guy. And Rocky Blyer, and then on defense, the steel curtain defense, they were tremendous. But when you go in against a team like that, we were in the Super Bowl as well. I had so much faith and confidence in our offensive line that we could take on anybody from left to right tackle. They were all pro across the board, but we were going up against the best. And anytime you do that, you just go toe to toe, and you just let the chips fall wherever they be. And Bradshaw was terrific late in the game with Stallworth. They ran the same play. We had chances there. We were just a little bit on the inexperienced side, but Mean Joe Green, didn't see much of him that day. Our offensive line did a great job. LC Greenwood, Jackie took care of LC Greenwood, and Jack Lambert in the middle, I didn't see him the one time he intercepted my pass, but we pretty much were pretty much control most of that entire game because of the way we played up front. And the game is won in the trenches a lot of times. And that's how we used to play football. We used to play football, run the ball, and then when they try to stop the run, we throw deep. And we loosen up the defense. And, the lucky thing for me when I first came on, they really didn't figure me out that well. And we had the element of surprise, and that's what kept teams off balance and gave us the push. But again, Ron, you have to play defense. Baseball, you have to be defense. You have to have a pitching staff. You gotta play good defense and stop your opponent. And we have one of the great defenses as well. But when you match up against the best team of all time, it was going to be a good showdown. Unfortunately, they beat us by the point spread, so that wasn't fun. You know, just to lose. I mean, it just. Yeah. But you walk away and you look back and you go, I left it all on the field, and that's what you have to do.
Was it special playing in the Rose Bowl for the
Super Bowl? It wasn't true.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I can imagine.
It was
105,000 people.
The second largest crowds of all time. Yeah. Yeah, it was a big crowd.
Yeah. Well, that has to be really special. And you know, what do you think that you had the mentality of being happy to be there the first time, or did you go in confident, feeling like we really got a great shot at winning this game?
It was, you know, it was another game for us, but it was high magnitude. Obviously, we had that extra week in preparation and all the excitement. You know, obviously, you felt it as a player, and all the media attention that was being delivered because of the excitement that was brewing for this big game, and knowing you were going to play one of the great teams of all time that had been there three times and had won three Super Bowls already, but. We kind of put all that in the back of our mind, and we prepared for the game. We had a great game plan, and some of the coaches that we had coached with Pittsburgh before, so we kind of knew them a little bit better than some teams. But we were as prepared as we could go. We just didn't have the experience to go toe to toe with them toward the end. But It was a great thrill, Ron. You know, to play. It's like playing in a World Series game. And you experienced the victory of winning a World Series game, where we got close, but it was just the beginning for the Rams. It was the first time the Rams had been in a Super Bowl game, and you know, hopefully it laid the groundwork for things to come later on. So.
Well, but, you had after your stay in with the Rams, you took a pay hike, went to Montreal, played for the Alouettes for a few years, and then you actually had a chance to return to the Rams, and you had a 509-yard passing game. I think things were probably clicking pretty well that day, don't you think?
You know, when you're in a zone, sometimes you just swing the bat and you just hit anything that's pitched at you. That was the way it was. You know, that day out on the field, you know, we threw passes, and we did it against the Chicago Bears with Walter Payton. And that day, actually, he broke the all-time rushing record. And so they had a little timeout for him. And late in the game, Lee Bennett came up to me, who was the media director, and he said, "Hey, do you know you're getting close to a record?" I go, What are you talking about? What kind of record?" He goes, "Passing yardage." He says, you're at 500, almost at 500 yards. And I mean, it wasn't something that I thought about, you know. It's just something that was happening, and guys were diving for balls. They were just, you know, we had to come from behind, but most of the times a quarterback throws over 500 yards in a game, run, you know, you're coming from behind, and most of those teams don't win a game. So very few of those quarterbacks that threw over 500 yards have won games. And at the time it was the second highest in NFL history, but a lot of guys now, because of the way they can throw the football, have surpassed that mark.
No question. Now, what a tremendous performance, though. You know, this segment of our show has really gone by fast. I had a ton of more stuff to talk to you about, but we're having to come to a close here. But Vince, I want to thank you so much for being a part of our show. It's an honor to have you here. You're a Southern California icon. You're a big Ram person. You got a sports podcast show with Jackie Slater. We'll be back right after this to finish it up.
Here's a simple solution for you. If you have back pain, knee pain, or any other pain in your body, it's as simple as drinking a glass of water every day. Your body is over 60% water, and drinking the best water you can get is crucial for your health. Echo Antioxidant Water, developed by Synergy Science, is the best water you can drink, and it's only available through this special radio offer. Over 1,000 research studies have shown that the powerful antioxidant used in Echo Antioxidant Water can reduce inflammation, improve brain function, help you sleep better, and boost gut health. With just two glasses a day, you can experience these benefits right from the comfort of your home. Some people have even replaced their morning coffee jolt with Echo Antioxidant Water. Call now and learn which Echo product by Synergy Science is right for you. We offer free shipping and a full 30-day money-back guarantee. Change your health by simply changing your water.
800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. That's 800-944-1789.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone, and AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them, and it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Okay, we're back for our final segment. We are just going to let Vince jump in here for the last bit. You got a sports podcast on point with Jackie Slater. Let you talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We'll see about that. That's kind of your show. But we're going to hopefully have Ron on our show. We do a podcast, a weekly podcast, and we talk a lot of different sports, obviously mostly football. Jackie Slater, the 20-year L.A. Rams legend and Hall of Famer, is with me on the show, and we talk about everything, and we've had some great interviews with some of the active players, some of the former players, but we'd love to get Ron Say on the show and get him to spill his guts about the Dodger faithful and about that great long-running infield that he was a big part of. So,
Benny, thank you. I would love to be able to do that. Thanks again for joining us. It was a special treat. We'd love to have you back on at another time to finish up what
we've
got.
Okay, thanks so much, Ron.
Thanks,
thank
Benny.
You, Mike.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Vince. Take care,
buddy.
Have a great day.
So here we have it. We're going to wrap up this show. We have, the Tampa Bay Rays are running away. They are 12-0, I believe, maybe 13 at this time. I saw a statistic the other day that said they have more home runs hit as a team than they've given up runs.
It's like for 5 years straight, they'll lose 100 games. And then in year six, they'll come back, win the World Series. And then the next year, they're losing 100 games.
Well, you know, baseball is funny that way. You know, the Toronto Blue Jays are a team that, you know, talent-wise, probably match up with people very well, but they can't seem to get it done. And that's the key thing in professional sports. If you want to make your way and do it and stabilize your position in the sport, you've got to win. And right now, their pitching staff is number one. They're winning games like 8-1.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you've got great pitching. You got a dominant offense that's playing. They're going to be tough to beat. They get a big lead right now. The East is going to be very difficult. But, the West right now is kind of jam-packed with people. I still believe that the Padres, according to Juan Soto, he says the Dodgers should be very concerned about us. So we'll see about that.
We will see about that indeed.
And
Our next week, we have another Dodger legend coming to join us, Eric Karros, who actually broke my all-time Dodger home run record. And he's going to be our guest next week. So please join us. Thanks for being with us. See you next week.